Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 13 degrees under fair skies. Today is Wednesday, January 18th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Alaska Airlines says that in response to snow forecasts, it has decided to cancel 38 flights into and out of Seattle and Portland, Oregon, beginning at 6 a.m. today. The airline urged customers to check the airline website before leaving for the airport. The airline is also waiving change fees for customers traveling through tomorrow in those cities. Spokeswoman Bobby Egan says tickets must be exchanged and travel completed by January 22nd. The National Weather Service says a potentially major snowstorm could hit Seattle and other western Washington cities this morning. Seattle's mayor has urged residents to stay off roads if possible. Many school districts, including Seattle, have already canceled classes for today. Meteorologist Doug McDonnell says the new round of snow was expected to start falling at around 4 a.m. in the Seattle area. Latest forecasts indicate the Seattle metro area could get hit with 3 to 5 inches of snow, with 3 to 6 inches falling in the Olympia area and 1 to 2 inches in northwest Washington, north of Seattle. The Cascade Range will likely get 1 to 3 feet of new snow through tonight. Snow from the new storm began falling shortly after midnight on the Washington coast. Sitka fire officials are urging residents to play it safe as a cold snap continues on Baranoff Island. Temperatures were in the single digits for the second day in a row yesterday. National Weather Service meteorologist Ricky Lamb says Sitka hit a low of 6 degrees overnight Monday into Tuesday. Wind chills have reached 2 below zero. Lamb says the average low this time of year is 32 degrees. Sitka Fire Chief Dave Miller said yesterday morning that his department had responded to a couple of slip and fall accidents. The department also received reports of 5 or 6 buildings with frozen pipes. Most of those have been commercial buildings with sprinkler systems. The worst-case scenario is that the frozen pipes crack and release the water inside.
And it's a big, ugly mess. Generally, the water in the pipes is dirty because, you know, there's rust and stuff in those pipes. They don't get used all the time. So generally when the water comes out, the first, you know, few hundred gallons is real ugly and, you know, it just stains a lot of stuff.
Miller says it's unusual to see broken pipes this early in a cold spell.
Usually they freeze up during a real cold spell, and then next week when they start thawing is generally when we see most of the pipe problems, but starting early this year.
The American Red Cross recommends keeping a trickle of water running through faucets to help prevent frozen pipes. If you need to warm up a pipe, the Red Cross recommends a blow dryer or heating pad. They say never to use a blowtorch, open flame, or kerosene or propane heater. Temperatures are expected to rise into the 20s tomorrow. Forecasters are predicting snow Friday night that could change to rain as temperatures continue warming up into the weekend. The cold snap isn't all bad news, at least not if you've been waiting for Swan Lake to freeze. The Sitka Fire Department reported 5 inches of ice on the lake as of midday yesterday. The legislative session began in Juneau yesterday with a lot on the plate of lawmakers. Because of redistricting, every legislator in Southeast will have to run for a new seat this fall, except for Juneau Senator Dennis Egan. KTOO's Casey Kelly recently spoke with Egan about the upcoming session.
Senator Dennis Egan is feeling good heading into the 2012 legislative session. He's in the second year of his first full term after being appointed to the seat on the last day of the 2009 session. More importantly, Egan starts off the year with a clean bill of health after undergoing heart surgery just 2.5 months before the start of last year's session.
I didn't have a medical procedure this year. I feel great.
In addition, Egan is the only senator who won't have to run for re-election this fall due to redistricting or the redrawing of legislative boundaries every 10 years, according to the U.S. Census. Under the Alaska Redistricting Board plan, Egan won't run again until 2014, though next year his district will pick up several new communities, including Skagway and Petersburg. Egan says the extra time will help him get to know those communities a little better, but he doesn't expect it to change the way he serves.
I've always represented the Southeast, and people from those communities have always come into our office, and we've worked very hard in trying to get their issues resolved and their requests for capital projects and issues that directly affect their communities.
Egan is squarely in the middle of the biggest issue facing the Senate this year, the governor's proposal to cut taxes on oil companies. The bill ended last session in the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, which Egan chairs. During the interim, the committee held 4 days of hearings on the bill in Anchorage and Fairbanks. Egan says the Senate still has concerns about the lack of Alaskans employed on the North Slope.
The people own the resource, and we, as a Senate bipartisan working group, think that we should get something in return. We're not opposed to providing some kind of an incentive for the industry, but we need something in return.
To get a better handle on employment in the oil industry, the Senate hired Juneau-based McDowell Group to do a study. Egan expects the analysis to get at least one hearing early in the session.
It shows there is a lot of non-resident hire, and we want to address that issue.
Egan is one of 6 co-sponsors of a bill that would exempt a proposed natural gas pipeline from property taxes during construction. He says the idea came from discussions senators had with the industry.
Trying to reach some sort of a conclusion to providing an incentive for industry and Alaskans to increase our portfolio.
Another bill Egan worked on during the interim would give public employees the option of choosing either a defined benefit or defined contribution retirement plan. In 2005, Alaska became the first state to do away with a traditional pension or defined benefit. Since then, all new hires have been set up with a defined contribution plan, similar to a 401k savings account. Egan's bill has 10 co-sponsors, including 2 Republicans, who feel the defined benefit is a better deal for Alaska's retired public employees because it guarantees them a pension check every month. Egan's office is currently trying to get the Parnell administration to agree on a cost estimate for the bill. The administration's actuary says it would cost the state more to offer a defined benefit option. Unions and other backers of the bill hired their own actuary, who says it would not increase costs. At a hearing during the interim, the 2 actuaries were asked to work together to settle the discrepancy.
We're trying to make it as close to revenue neutral as we can. We want people to retire in Alaska, and I think Senate Bill 121 allows those folks to do that.
Egan says he's happy with Juneau projects in Governor Parnell's proposed capital budget, especially ongoing funding for the State Library, Archives, and Museum, or SLAM project, as well as renovations or repairs to the Douglas Island Office Building, the State Office Building Parking Garage, and the Juneau Pioneer Home. He says other priorities for the Senate bipartisan coalition will be affordable energy, expanding Alaska's infrastructure, and pre-kindergarten through post-secondary education. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
The State Board of Fish has voted down a proposal to keep commercial red king crabbers out of the waters around Juneau. The Juneau-based hunting and fishing group Territorial Sportsmen wanted the board to allocate all the red and blue king crab in District 11A to personal use crabbers. The group's Wayne Regalin said Juneau residents have complained to him about restricted seasons and a smaller crab catch.
So we had a very small season. We took probably about 1,200 crab, less than one per person. Still with this very restrictive personal use fishery, there was a commercial harvest in November. And this made many people in Juneau extremely unhappy. They're dissatisfied with this, and they blame the commercial fishermen. Rightly or wrongly, they feel that the low population is due to commercial fishing.
The commercial fleet is allowed to catch 40% of the guideline harvest level in 11A. The rest goes to personal use, people catching crab for their dinner tables. The last fall's commercial harvest was nearly 1,100 red king crab. The commercial fishing organization Petersburg Vessel Owners Association opposed the exclusion of the fishing fleet. Julianne Curry is the PVOA's executive director.
I think that sometimes people tend to forget that the commercial fishery helps provide food for the public, the American public. And if people are going to the restaurants in Juneau and you're seeing king crab on the menu, that king crab has come from the commercial fishery. So this year, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game did a very good job of managing that red king crab fishery, and we're still gathering additional data. But that fishery was only open for 24 hours in the Juneau area, and the two people who participated in the Juneau area fishery for commercial were both from Juneau. So I would hope that those guys get to continue to fish in their own backyard. Thank you.
Juneau's Fish and Game Advisory Committee did not recommend the change. Board member and former Juneau resident Tom Clubberton also opposed it, noting that both personal use and commercial crabbers have seen fishing restrictions.
I think as a board, that's our responsibility to ensure that burden of conservation is shared. I'd love to be able to hop in the skiff and ride out there and catch a king crab or two or three or four, but if I look at the Constitution and think common use property fisheries, I live at Talkeetna and my common use ability is to go to Costco and buy a box of king crab. So without the commercial guys catching them, I can't do that.
The board voted 6-0 against the proposal, with board member and commercial fisherman John Jensen of Petersburg sitting out the vote. The board also rejected two proposals seeking to open the commercial fishery in Southeast, even when Fish and Game's estimated surplus of red king crab falls below a 200,000-pound threshold. So in weather forecast today, for Sitka and PA, calls for sunshine, highs around 18, east winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, lows 10 to 16, east winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow, sunshine, highs around 24, northeast winds 10 miles per hour. And Friday, temperatures warming up to a high of around 28 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.